welcome David Meltzer. How's it going, David?
Phenomenal. It's such a pleasure and an honor to be in the Winners Club and to share not only the lessons and the stories, but hopefully I paid a lot of dummy tax, and I'm hoping that others don't have to pay the most expensive tax that nobody talks about, the dummy tax.
This is what it's all about. So, David, through your lifetime, what were some of the dumbest mistakes you've made, and what did you learn from it?
Well, first of all, the dumbest mistake I made was not to ask for help. You know, the fastest and easiest way to get to where you want to be is find someone that's already there and ask them for directions. And through that process, I learned a great lesson that I continually practice today, which is you're either humble or you're about to be. And regardless of what other people think of you, they usually think too highly of you or too lowly of you. In order to have a predisposition of humility, we have to know that we don't know what we don't know. And other people in the same subjects or topics or expertise in which we are pursuing, they may have actually experienced what you are about to experience. And so I wish somebody would have told me at a very young age, as I was a multimillionaire at a very young age, number one, ask for help. And two, you're either humble or you're about to be.
So let's rewind that a little bit, because I mean, at a young age and you're making millions. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, well, why do I need to ask for help? Because I'm making millions, right? The proof is in the pudding. I'm successful. So for somebody out there who is seeing rapid success, making millions at a young age, what's some of the signs that you need help? What are some of the signs that I need a mentor, right? Because you're rich.
And that's exactly what got me into trouble, brother, man. I'm going to tell you that you may be good at one thing. That does not mean you're good at everything. And so take inventory of your knowledge, your skills, and your desires, and make sure that you're honest with yourself to see how those skills, knowledge, and desires are aligning with what's doing well, what's stable, and what you think is going to be doing well. But just because you may be good at selling, that doesn't mean you know finance or tax architecture, or you may not understand the complexities of raising money, or debt equity, or a variety of things that got me into trouble. I had a $40 million line of credit. Everything was soaring along. And I got into a lawsuit, let my ego get in the way. I had a need to be right. I could have settled that thing out so easily, but instead I wanted to fight it. You know, I needed cash. I had a $40 million line of credit. So I went to draw down $5 million, and it was 2008. Little did I know a bank at a moment's notice could cut your line off, regardless of your good credit. And so I went into a bank to draw down $5 million. The guy who had been my private banker for 15 years was no longer there and didn't even have the courtesy to tell me he was no longer there. So I was stuck with some guy who I never met before, who didn't know who I was, telling me, oh, nobody called you. You have a $1 million limit, not a $40 million limit. And you need to reapply to have a bigger line of credit because the bank was having troubles. And if I had a mentor who taught me debt equity, who taught me leverage, who taught me real estate, who taught me even the ego, the mindset of, you know, needing to be right, which is a very expensive lesson to need to be right and let my ego get in the way. All of these things could have put me into a better position, a better situation through 2008, because I held some extraordinary assets that, you know, one of my assets in Montana that I bought for $2 million sold during COVID for $57 million. But I lost it because I didn't have mentorship. And so throughout my life, because I made a lot of money, I, number one, thought money would always buy me love or happiness and everybody loved me because I had money. No, they loved my money. They didn't love me. And two, I thought I knew everything because I made more money than most people. And I wish I would have listened to people that didn't make a lot of money. I wish I would listen to my mom or my best friend or my wife, who told me that I better take stock in who I was and what I wanted to become, because I was not only going to lose everything, in their opinion, but I was going to lose my life because I was utilizing drugs and alcohol and surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And I just got emptier and emptier and emptier as my success got greater and greater and bigger.
It's easy to say I should have listened to my mom or my friends, you know, because there's hindsight to it. But at the moment that you were experiencing this, in my experience, sometimes my mom or my family were the one holding me back, right? Because it's not that they don't want to see you do well, but they want to make sure you're safe. And as you know, entrepreneurs, The safe place to be is not where you grow. So how can we help the audience understand that a little bit more? Like, where should they be finding their mentors? Where should they be really seeking advice? Because I don't know. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I think if I were to go ask my mom for advice right now, she'd tell me to move back in with her. Right?
Yeah. No, you're making
it. And that's not the wrong thing to do. I'll save a lot of money, but.
Yeah. But no. So let me, because you're nailing it, man. Your questions are so good, Brian. I do so many interviews. It's really exciting because you're bringing out the subtleties of what I say. Number one, I asked my mom for advice for what she's good at. She's a second grade teacher. She's an extraordinary mom. So she understands character and integrity. She understands behaviors, good behavior and bad behavior. Now, what you're discussing, why you don't ask your mom for business advice or life advice as far as what to do as an entrepreneur, is that your mom and my mom, they love us so much that they're more afraid for us than they are for themselves. So they're going to give you advice out of what I call ignorant arrogance to keep you safe. So they're going to tell you, oh, be a lawyer or a doctor, or you're going to be a failure. My mom actually told me not to take my first job in the internet because it was a fad. It was never going to last. But when it came to my health, when it came to my character, my integrity, there was no better mentor than my mom, because my mom lived her life with integrity and character. And she taught kids from the time she had graduated and become a teacher. She taught kids integrity and character. So to get advice about integrity and character, that's a good person to go to. To get business advice from a second grade teacher is asinine, especially one that loves you more than anything, you know, than in the world. And that's part of the problem with mentorship, is people don't seek mentorship from the people who sit in the situation they want to be in. They seek mentorship for the people who care most about them. And those are two different things that must be distinguished. And you bring up a great point. I still was, later on in life, never listened to my mom's advice when it came to business, but I always listened to her when it came to advice about parenting, about marriage, about character, about integrity, about behaviors. My mom was a PhD in education. She knew about all that, but she still, from the day she died, didn't know anything about business. She just wanted to keep me safe, didn't want me to lose all my money, which I ended up losing anyway.
So I know you lost your money, but did you make it back a second time for her to see it?
I did. In fact, my mom passed away a few months ago, and one of the greatest things in my life, I just received an honorary doctorate. My favorite mom's line was doctor, lawyer, or failure. And so when my mom, who had a little bit of dementia, the last day before she passed, I was at the hospital with her, and I said, Mom, I just want to tell you that I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, and a failure, just like you said. And she looked at me and she said, David, I'm so proud of you, especially for being such a great failure. And what she meant by that was, my mom always said failure was feedback. And she said, you are like a rising phoenix. You took that failure, it's a big one, over $100 million, including losing my own home, and you made it all back for the sake of helping other people. And what you're doing today by empowering over a billion people to be happy, by pouring into your community every single day, by being mission-driven, not commission-driven. I'm so proud of you, because when you are focused in on your mission, a man that has the skills, the knowledge, and desire of you, the commissions will follow. And I'm glad to see you are followed by the best and surrounded yourself with the best. So I absolutely, one of the proudest moments is my mom got to see the comeback. And the comeback was much bigger than the rise up.
Wow. Wow. I know your mom's looking down and she's still proud, and you're helping everybody. Even to this day, guys, he does not have to be on the Winners Club podcast, but he made time. This is what David is about. He's about giving back and his mission. But I want to ask you this. Now, in the beginning of your life, it was commission, not mission. Now it's mission before commission. So is there a right or a wrong? Is it because you lost everything that it became mission driven? Or can someone be, I guess, still successful if they go commission first and then convert to the mission? Does that make sense?
I think you need to go commission first. I think one of the biggest problems with people is they don't realize how important money is if you utilize it in the right way. See, money does not buy love or happiness, but it allows you to shop. And if you shop for the right things for the right reasons, you'll be really happy. You see, most people live their life like I did when I was young. I want to make a lot of money. I'll be happy when I make a million, 10 million, 20 million, 30 million, 40. Every time, every 10 million, I kept saying I'll be happy when, and I got more and more empty. When I shifted it to, I'm going to make my first million back for the sake of creating security for my family once again. I'm going to make the next $1 million for the sake of more security, but also helping others. And the next $5 million for this, and the next $10 million for this. Everything I have is not attached to an outcome. I'm happy pursuing my potential to make a lot of money, to help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun. In fact, I want to offer to everybody in your community, I will sign my book. I will send it to you. I'll pay for shipping and my book. If you want to learn how to make a lot of money, help a lot of people, and have a lot of fun with your life, I will send you, sign it, pay for shipping and the book. Just email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Anybody in the Winners Club, all you got to do is email me. I'll send that out to you. It's on my mission. I promise you, you read that book once, you'll make your first million. You continue to read it. Not only will you make millions, but for the sake of helping others, and you will have a lot of fun. And the reason that's so important is I've never met Brian, anybody who makes a lot of money, helps a lot of people with the money, and has a lot of fun with the money, that isn't happy.
Amen to that. Amen to that. Can I ask you this, though? Is it okay to be a little selfish in the beginning when it on the rise? And I say that because if you don't have money to help yourself, how can you help others, right? And I'm not saying, I mean, I'm here to ask you.
You're right.
Is that okay?
You're so on tune, brother. It is more than okay. It's what I teach people. You see, here's the misguidance of giving is that most people think the more you, financially, most people think the more you give, the more you will receive. It doesn't, it works with love. It works with kindness. It works with happiness and joy. It doesn't work with money. The more you give and the more you give, you need to receive because there's a zero sum game. If you give more than you get back financially, you're going to end up at zero. You're going to end up at zero. And so I studied all religions, philosophies, spiritualities, and theories on money. And what I realized was almost all of them said, the more you give, the more you will be given. Now, it's an exercise to find the light, the love, and the lessons in all you're given. A lot of times what we're given, there's no evidence that we're being given something that's helping us get to where we want to be. Or even worse, in my case, when you lose 100 million, there's no evidence. The evidence is actually contrary that I'm going to get to where I want to be. But in the end, I use gratitude and forgiveness and accountability in order to effectuate the love, the light, the lessons, and losing all that money. And instead of feeling punished, I felt protected, promoted, loved, and perfected. And it has elevated me to a level that I never had seen before. And most people, when there's no evidence or the evidence is contrary, they feel punished. So what I want people to do is pay yourself first. I want you to give more because you'll be given more. I want you to receive more. And then I want you to ask for more than more so you can give more than more, be given more than more, receive more than more, ask for more than more than more. You see where I'm going to end up when I'm 80? With more than enough of everything for everyone because I receive it first. Here's another thing to think about for all you people that feel bad or resentful or guilty about receiving. You are cheating everybody else if you don't receive. What do I mean by that? We feel our highest self. We are closest to God when we're able and capable of helping others. And when you deny somebody helping you and not receiving what they're giving you, you are cheating them of the highest feeling. You are cheating them of getting close to God. You are actually giving them more than they're giving you when you receive what they offer to you. And so you need to receive, especially early on, before you build your income so that the income and that which exists from the income is more than your expenses. When your assets, they derive more income than your expenses, then you're free. You can do what you want, when you want, with who you want, for as long as you want. That's where I'm living right now at 57 years old. That's freedom. But it doesn't happen if I wasn't receiving. I was commission-based when I went bankrupt. I was like Bob Proctor, who was my mentor, who also has passed. He said, David, all I want you to do is receive $2 million and put it in the bank. I know it's not economically for the long run healthy, but your life will change if you're capable of putting $2 million in the bank and not investing. Don't buy cars. Don't buy houses. I want you to save $2 million. Then see what happens. And he was right. My whole life changed back. And now exponentially every year I receive more than more than I ever have.
You know, I hope the listeners got that because for me, it was very hard to receive. Sometimes we feel like we are not worthy to receive. But let me tell you, you are more than worthy. Those are the opportunities that come knocking on your door. Just take it. But just understand that when it is your time to give opportunities, you must give too. And that's what it's about. Give, receive. Just don't be one-sided. Am I right, David?
You're 100% right. Don't be one-sided. It's an infinite loop of giving. It's not a quid pro quo, not a transaction, not a trade or a negotiation. It's an infinite loop of more than enough of everything for everyone. We exist within the context of this infinite, abundant, unified system that actually has more than enough for everyone. It's what are you doing to interfere with it? And if you're not worthy, if you resent or feel guilty when someone offers you help or you're receiving, you're not going to be living in that abundant unified system. You're going to be interfering with it, and you're going to end up in the world of less than, in a scarce world of not enough or just enough, instead of the world of more than enough.
Thank you, David. I think we all needed to hear that. But David, I see your book, Don't Do Business with Dicks. I'm ready for it, but can you give us, what is it about? I mean, I can get from the title, but I'm sure there's more to it than that. Can you give us a little synopsis about it?
Yeah, so many people don't live in the world of I am, and they don't realize that people, places, things, events, circumstances, activities are interfering with I am. I am happy, I'm healthy, I'm wealthy, I'm worthy. And what had happened to me is I started surrounding myself with negativity. I started surrounding myself with the wrong people and the wrong ideas. And I put myself in the wrong circumstances, the wrong events, the wrong businesses. And there was toxicity. There was an interference between me and my potential. And so I am steadfast as a non-negotiable that I do not do business. And the analogous word dicks is, it's not just people that are assholes, is negative ideas, negative circumstances, negative events, negative locations, negative content, negative music. And so I go through and explain a shift in a paradigm that will save you and serve you forever in not only the wisdom that I gathered by paying the dummy tax, by losing over $100 million. Remember, dummy tax is the most expensive tax. It'll cost you everything you have and everything you could have. That's way more than California state tax, by the way. And everybody's worried about that. And I live in California. So I wrote this book to teach people not only the wisdom, but the faith that's required to shorten the distance of resistance that we create for ourselves with the toxicity and the interference of our potential.
I'm actually excited to hear that because I listen to a lot of crazy music. So I want to know what music I shouldn't be listening to. I'll be honest with you. I like all the rap songs.
For what purpose? Yeah, man.
At the gym, I need it. I need the power.
No. See, now look, at the gym is the time that we want to be motivated, and fear can motivate us. That can get us up, get us back up, get us started, get us back started. That's needed when you're working out, but it's not needed all day long to get you there. You need to be at peace, at ease. You need to harness the infinite amount of intelligence, intuition, all the inspiration and energy in the unified system that I'm talking about. There's more than enough, an infinite amount of it. And most people can't keep up with me. I'm 57 years old. I'm not in as good a shape as I was when I was 25. I'm certainly not in as good a shape as some other people at 25. But by 4 o'clock, if you're shadowing me, you're sleeping in my back seat. Not because I have more energy than you. We have the exact same energy. I just have learned not to interfere with it.
All right. Well, I'm excited for the books. And guys, if you're listening to this, David's going to be sending us all a book signed. So take this opportunity. David, I'm going to ask you one final question. I'm going to let you go. For all the young hustlers out there who are stuck, that are so scared of failure, they haven't even failed yet, but they're just scared to start. What's one piece of advice to get them on the road in line with their energy and out there just taking action?
Best piece of advice I can give you is to assign time to non-negotiable behavior. Take circumstance out of your life. Take uncertainty out of your life. I can give you a suggestion. Number one, make sleep non-negotiable. Give yourself a minimum of 8 hours of sleep. Make it non-negotiable. No matter what, I'm going to get 8 hours of sleep. Two, make your health non-negotiable. Minimum of an hour a day on your health. Make your family and your friends non-negotiable. Every day, spend a minimum amount of time with your family and friends. Make your finance non-negotiable. Spend a minimum amount of time, 7 days a week. Look at your accounts. Look at your balances. Look at your business plan. Make your faith non-negotiable. Spend a minimum amount of time every day on your faith. Make time non-negotiable. Spend a minimum amount of time studying time with intentionality. What am I going to do, say, think, feel, and believe in alignment with where I want to be or better? And align the meaning, the lessons of the past in that as well. Because that shadow that so many of us cast over our future is limiting. It limits our own self-image, as you stated, and you will never overachieve your own self-image. And then study relativity, the meaning of what you're doing, the mission in what you're doing for the sake of what am I going to do this. And if you do non-negotiable behavior, including your sleep 12 hours a day, you can do whatever you want circumstantially the other 12 hours that you're awake. And you'll feel free. You'll learn lessons. You'll learn to prioritize, reprioritize, post-prioritize. But most importantly, if you stay steady, enjoying the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursue your potential of those non-negotiable behaviors, you will have exponentiality and acceleration in your life. And you will make a lot of money. You will help a lot of people. And you will have a lot of fun. I guarantee it.
Amen. Thank you so much, David. I really appreciate you joining the Winners Club podcast. And guys, if you want to connect with him, I'm going to tag his Instagram, everything down below. He is an inspiration. This man has, I'm telling you, he does have more energy. I'm not half his age, but I'm younger than him. And I could tell you he has a lot more. But I have been doing one thing, David. I have been practicing sleep. Like,
good.
I agree with you. 8 hours. I used to be a dummy. You know, go, go, go. You know, I try to squeeze too many things in. And unfortunately, I have a reminder every day. This happened last August. No sleep. When you don't have sleep, and I have young kids, I caught pneumonia. Pneumonia led to fluid in my chest cavity. That brought my immune system down. I caught a flesh-eating bacteria. They had to operate. They almost cut off the arm. And it's all because I was stupid and I didn't prioritize sleep and rest. So guys, take your rest. There's enough time to, you know, do what he says and you can accomplish a lot of things, but do not compromise sleep. David, thank you so much for being on the show.
Recovery creates performance. Those who recover better perform better. They also access information better. Ryan, what a pleasure it's been to be part of the Winners Club. Please, everybody, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Look me up on Instagram everywhere at David Meltzer. I'll be back, my friend, and you'll be back on my shows. I guarantee it.
Thank you so much. Bye, guys.